Thank you so much. It's a joy to be with you this morning, and I don't know about you, but I'm excited. It doesn't look, but I'm excited. This place is such a place. It's given me, through those 20-odd years, a lot of inspiration. Every time I come here, I am stirred up, and I try to stir you up also, and great friendships has been made through the years, and one of the great friends I have found, a true friend, is Pastor Carl, and he's been in Hungary with me, some of the places we ministered together. He has tasted some of the good things in Eastern Europe. The Bible says the wise men come from East, so that's one of them here, right up here, so hallelujah. Pastor Carl asked me that I would share a little bit of my testimony. Some of you don't know me. It's very strange because they know me all over the world. But I was born in Hungary. It was communism. And as a child, I had a lot of difficulties to understand why persecution is. My parents were Christians, and they went through all kinds of difficulties. So when I was about 20 odd years, I see no future, no hope in that country. So I decided to take my life, which meant to me to escape from Hungary. Most of my friends who escaped, some of them were shot, some of them were imprisoned, but we took a chance. So I did. I was not a Christian, though I was going to the church, forced to go to the church, and had no relationship with God, not relationship with Jesus, never mind, but anyway, I escaped. My parents prayed, and if your parents praying for you, you are covered. You are protected. You can't go wrong. So parents, I encourage you to pray for your children. You never know when and where they're going to need it. So going through the borders, God has performed great miracles that I could go through. And when I finally got through the borders, I find myself in Switzerland, don't know what to do now, because I was prepared as far as escaping, and I thought something just going to happen in between. Nothing happened. I'm now Switzerland, and I don't know what to do. Now, that was a real test. You know, not the escape was the real trial, but now I'm a young man, what to do with my life? So I was crawling around Europe. I went to Switzerland, to Italy, to Germany. And finally, you know, pretty lost, hopeless, I was going to a temple in Germany. And the priest, I said to that to get some favor for him, I said, my father is a priest, so help me. I'm his son. Well, he said, all right, there is some wood outside. Bring it inside, and then you can sleep here. But I cannot help you more, so tomorrow morning you have to leave. So I did a lot of work, and in the middle of the night, I said, it's really, really bad, because during those days, it was about 5 years altogether, this refugee from camp to camp, my kidney blew up. And I was going to the toilet, I peed blood, so I was in a real deep trouble. No place to go, prison here, prison there, I had no permanent residence anywhere. So I was pretty lost. And in that night, I remembered God. Actually, I remembered my father. My father said, son, wherever life takes you, if you're in real trouble, just talk to God. So I did, in my own simple way. I said, now God, you God, my father's God, now you help me or I finish with you forever. Not that I have anything to do with him up to now, but I said, I scare him, you know. So if I got serious, maybe he got serious with me. So I said, Lord, if you don't help me now, I finish with you. And you know, God is such a great God. You know, I don't know about you, but to me, it's a great. It's a lover. It's a father. It's, how many times are our children misbehaving and we still love them? And that's exactly like our father. You know, to this prayer, he answered me. That prayer. So I encourage you, yeah, it's great to pray. Great to pray great prayers. But simple prayer, you know. Pray from the heart. honest prayer. You know, just say, Lord, I messed up. Help me now. You know, he listens. You don't need to say 55,000 words. Just simply pour out your heart. So I did that, and God helped me. For the next 6 months, God has done so many great things. 6 months later, I'm in Australia. I have a family. I'm in a church at the altar receiving Jesus Christ. So it's a so long story. And from that moment on, I have found a brand new life. I had hope. I had future. I had a beautiful family, friends all over the world. And also, I had a call on my life. And that pastor, when I received Jesus the next week, he came to visit us. And that's another father figure. I was going home as a frustrated refugee in Australia. I had a German shepherd, beautiful dog. And I was going home, and he was lying in front of the door. And I said to him, "Can, get away. I want to get in." And he didn't move. So I just went there and kicked him, you know, just gently, you know, gently, gently. And exactly that moment, my pastor turned on. He was coming to visit me, and he saw I'm kicking the dog. I said, "My God, now I ruined it. I'm finished." It's a good intro. And then he comes towards me. I was pretty ashamed. And then I went down to the, "Oh, okay, Khan. Oh, good doggy, good doggy." And then he turns up and he says, "Oh, you have a beautiful shoes." I said, "Wonderful. Hallelujah." He doesn't give me a hard time. This must be something like God, you know. So this man become like my spiritual father. He encouraged me to enter into Bible school. He encouraged me to enter to ministry. He basically was the inspiration. It was God's hand, a human hand, God's human hand on my life to put me into this full-time ministry. And after only just a short few years, like after 10 years of preparation, God has called me back to Eastern Europe to minister to our people. That was the time when communism fell, and God opened the window of opportunity to go in there. And we, as young people, we got there with excitement. You know, we have never thought that that would thing happen. And Pastor Carl would know, we had crusade like 50. You know, Pastor Bob, you also know, you've been there. We had hundreds of thousands of people crowding into our meetings, you know, in Czech Republic, in Hungary, and some of those Eastern European countries. And out of those meetings, you know, we have started churches, Bible schools, training leaders. So the rest is history. So I'm so thankful that, you know, I heard God's voice. And I'm so thankful that even in the simplest, and it doesn't matter how deep you are, how messed up you are, you cry to God and he will help you. And when you sing this song, anything can happen. It touched my heart. Because when I heard that song, not that one, but something like "Anything God Can Do," I said, "God, why not everything?" I said, "Do everything in my life." And 27 years in the mission field, 36 years in ministry, I can tell God did everything. I have seen 1.5 million people receiving Jesus. I've been in 42 countries. Little Laszlo, from nowhere, don't even speak English, even till this day, you know. And God, just an awesome God. And I'm telling you, it's no such life God cannot use. And some of the people who know me a little longer, like Pastor Bob, Pastor Carl, you know, they know that I'm not an easy person. I believe I have a very, very difficult personality, very hard to get on with. And God dealt with me through those, handicaps, you know. And just recently, God gave me some real true, deep revelation about my own life. That some of the things that I could have not achieved, it was because I was a problem person. I was a question wherever I went. I remember when I went to Switzerland, the police asked me, "What do you want?" Everywhere, I was just like a wonder. Why are you doing this? Why you are here? So I was a question, and because I was creating this question, created problems, I was not welcome. They loved me, yeah, they had this surface love. Yeah, come, it's all right. But I did not feel this reception, you know, this loving embrace. Everywhere, for many, many years, even I believe in the beginning when we met, I was a lot of problem, a lot of question. Listen, I was a lot of, Laszlo, who? I remember they used to introduce me in churches and they tried to say my name, not as well as Pastor Carl, but you say, I've been called in everything. So finally they finished, they give up and they said, Laszlo, who? You know, that's how they call me. So, and it was always like this little feeling, especially me coming out of Eastern Europe, out of rejection, out of the place of inferiority, insecurity. I always felt I wanted to have fellowship. I wanted to have a place at the table. But anywhere I went, I did not feel a heartfelt welcome at the table. And I discovered through those years that because I was a question, I created problems. And God talked to me one day and he said, be an answer instead of a question. And I want to tell you this morning, until you are a question, full of questions, and everywhere you go, you create troubles, you will not be welcomed at the table. But once your life turns around and you become an answer, you always have a place at the table. And not only have a place at the table, but they will call you to be part of a company who sits around the table. When I received that revelation, it touched my heart. So I ran around the world and I tried to be, sorry, I can't come down. I tried to be an answer for everybody. Now that's another mistake, you know? When we try to help our kids, then we try to help our friends, then we have to try to help out God. Of course, God, you need someone, here am I, it's your answer. Yeah. And, you know, you have a lot of setbacks when you try to be an answer for everybody. Until I come to a point that I am like a, say like I'm I have these things, I keep carrying my glasses, I don't know that I'm using it, but. And then I discovered that I am like this glass, pair of glass. It's only good for one thing. It's not good for many things. You know, I cannot write with this. I cannot eat with this. Sometimes, yeah, I can stir my coffee. But usually, that's not normally the right use for that. But I discovered one thing is good for. This thing is very good for reading. Especially when you get a little younger like me, then, you know, you need to sort of shape up with the fashion. So it looks really good, you know. So I thought that little thing is very useful for one thing. So just maybe this is an answer for my life. That I am not good for everybody, even though it sounds really great. But I'm only good for one thing. And when you find where you are good at this one thing, when you find where is your that one answer where you are an answer, then you find purpose. and my life changed. My whole ministry changed. Today I'm not saying a million people get saved. I say one person has been ministered by me. And as I go around the churches, I'm not trying to minister to everybody. I'm not an answer to everybody, but maybe to one. Even this morning, I am an answer to one person, to somebody. Hallelujah. And when you find that you are an answer, you find a trouble. Very interesting that immediately trouble stirs up when you become an answer. Why? Because only in trouble, answer can be revealed. If there is no trouble in your life, I think it's better you move out from this place. We have troubles. If you don't know, if you don't have any trouble, just turn on the TV or go to the streets. There is troubles everywhere. When you live in Europe, this migrant situation, my God, there is trouble everywhere. They are all over the place. Trouble financially, trouble in the families, troubles everywhere. But some of the troubles, what we are facing today, it's by purpose. It reminds me to a young man called Joseph. I'm telling you, all through his life, he was a troublemaker. In his own family, even though he did not initiate it, his father messed him up with a little coat. With all his great character, he went to show off to his brothers. I don't think so that he even have a t-shirt. And he had a colored coat. He showed up, look at me, I'm really great now. Oh, they just laughed him. Hallelujah. You know when God blesses you and you try to show him off, they just love you. 2 minutes later, you're in a pit. People just cannot handle success. They just don't want you to be more successful than they are. And when you are and then you are proud of it, you know, they know how to put you there to the pit. So Joseph was not much of a blessing. He was a trouble. It was a question. Why do you have the coat? Why do you come here to show off? Bang! They dropped him. And then, because he's got purpose, God has a plan for his life. Obviously, God took him out of that pit and they sold him to Egypt. He got into Potiphar's house. You would think, nah, he's a blessing. No, he was a trouble. Even though he's not initiated it, it was Potiphar's wife, but he was still trouble. He was a question. Why did you bring this man to our house? Look what he tried to do. Even it was a lie, but he created troubles. And you know, sometimes we just have to examine ourselves. If things doesn't work the way we want it, maybe because wherever we go, we cause trouble. Instead of becoming an answer, we create more questions. Can I say an amen? Can somebody say an amen here? Or is that a dignified, holy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, Harriet is just such a faithful, wonderful person. She always, hallelujah, when I preach, you know. She does very well, hallelujah. So he created problems. And my life was such. Everywhere I went, instead of bringing answers, I brought questions. Instead of bringing a solution, becoming a solution, I become a problem. No wonder that I had no place at the table. And what happened to Joseph? Trouble at home in the family, trouble in Potiphar's house. Now he's in prison. God began to deal with him. God began to perform something in his life, showing something to him that he must change. He cannot be a problem any longer, because he was preparing for the palace. He was preparing him to rule. And he was there for about 12 years, 13, whatever. It's a long time in prison, you know. We don't talk much about this. But there was a lot of problem. And in that time, he learned this one thing. He could read dreams. You know, we read about him that he became like God favored him. And he became this and this and this. But it didn't change anything. Until he learned and focused on that one thing. What God has created him. And when you become an answer that for this one thing, then here comes, you're not going to push yourself. They will call. They will call you. And the Bible says in Genesis, just that we would stick to the Bible, in chapter 41 and verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon and shaved him, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. That trouble, you know, I wondered why this famine didn't come 10 years earlier. Shorten the time of imprisonment for Joseph. Why did it come 13 years later? Because God knows when he formed. When he formed us to his image and likeness. When he made us ready to rule and reign with him. When we present him as he is, not ourselves. It took him 13 years to prepare him. And then they called him. And I'm telling you, all through my early years of ministry, when I traveled and see millions of people saved and traveled to many, many countries, I have never been called. I push myself. I say, Pastor Carl, I'm coming. Get ready. Never called me. I went to India, Africa. I said, I have to go to Africa. I'm a missionary. I mean, I can't be a missionary without going to Africa. I went to Tanzania. My friend, I cried all week like a baby. It was so tough, so hard. The food, the temperature, the bugs, everything. And when I said, oh God, I thought I do your will. And God said, who called you here? You called yourself troublemaker. A question mark. How many more questions you still have? When you finally going to be an answer? And I'm telling you my heart, but some of you can identify with that. To one as an answer today. But when Joseph was ready, they called him. Until you're not an answer, your life is fluctuating. Yeah, you might experience, I experienced some heights. You might experience some success. But even during success, already preparing for downfall. Up and down, up and down. Until you become an answer, your life will fluctuate. I'm telling you, when you become an answer, when you become an answer, and when they call you, hallelujah, from that moment on, you will never go down again. When they called Joseph, when the Pharaoh called him, they shaved him. I didn't shave because I think that's really cool, but they shaved him, they washed him, they prepared him for the palace. And you know what? From that palace, he never left. He never went down again. All through his life, he was ruling. Even in the place of Pharaoh, he had all the power and all the authority. It's parallel to us. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe when you become an answer, when have no more question, but I trust in God. The one answer I am today. And they will call you. Then you will have a place at the table. You're always welcome at the table. And we'll never go down. So just maybe the trouble which is around you has been created by God. So you as an answer would be revealed. Amen. Only in trouble answer can be revealed. Hallelujah. And I thank God that Joseph at that moment came to the palace, was ready. His character was formed. His person was changed. Now he's not a show-off. He's a humble servant. He's a forgiving servant who reminds me of Jesus. Jesus came, became an answer. Amen. Not to everybody, because there was a lot of blind people. He only touched a few. Then I understood that even Jesus was not the answer for everything while on earth. Hallelujah. He was an answer for the few. Those 10 lepers, he was an answer. There was much more lepers in Jerusalem and Israel. But he became an answer. The question to you, what we have to ask ourselves, am I a question or am I an answer? Am I trouble or am I the solution? Do they call you? Are you still waiting and you're disappointed? It's not because God's not working in you, just because you